Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Who are this season's top 50 NHL players? Find out on the Locked On NHL Podcast. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano, and Rachel Donner reveal the top 50 players as voted on by our local experts across the Locked On NHL network of podcasts. Subscribe to the Locked On NHL Podcast on YouTube and turn on your notifications on so you never miss an episode. So today we will continue with our off-season reports, and today we have reached the San Jose Sharks as we work backwards alphabetically. And so the San Jose Sharks are an interesting team at the very least, even if they may not necessarily be a good team. And so we will we'll take a look at this roster and then try and determine where we think the Sharks might be at the end of the season. And I guess the biggest story that hangs over the Sharks is Evander Kane. He's probably the biggest wild card on the roster, and if everything is fine, then Evander Kane is probably the first line left winger. But he is a wild card, probably the biggest wild card on San Jose's roster, and he might have been even before this offseason. But he's also really productive. Kane has scored at least 20 goals in 7 straight seasons. And that's coming off a shortened season. So he has become a pretty high-end goal scorer. He's an elite shot generator, tends to push play in the right direction, and for better or for worse, is fearless on the ice. I mean, not often you find a guy who's a first-line scorer who's also willing to tangle with Ryan Reeves, and Evander Kane is. So there are benefits to having that kind of player. But all of that gets overshadowed by his off-ice issues. And, you know, if there is a shred of truth to the accusations that his soon-to-be ex-wife has leveled publicly, it could be a long time before we see Evander Kane in the NHL, or we might never see him in the NHL. Of course, there's also the possibility that either is not true or can't be proven, and Kane could be playing by the time the season starts. And if he is, well, I think the expectation would have to be that he'll be one of San Jose's most productive players. So there's a pretty wide gap there between this guy might get suspended for a long time or he might be the best forward on the team. I think those are basically the extremes when it comes to Evander Kane. And really, if you're a team like San Jose, you can hardly afford to have Evander Kane just go away, and in terms of the talent and what that would mean to the team this season. Now, if it clears out more than $7 million on the salary cap for 4 years, well, you know, then there are benefits to that because you could then replace Evander Kane. But as it is, if they aren't going to be able to get rid of the contract, I think the situation here for San Jose is going to be rather complicated because Evander Kane, after being accused of throwing games, and you know the stories start to come out about how teammates don't want him there, and having all that stuff come out this summer is going to make, you know, this coming season a complicated one at the very least. And so there is, you know, the first player to discuss when it comes to the San Jose Sharks. Then there's Logan Couture, who's been a really productive center, has had 7 50-point seasons in his career, but he's also coming off a year in which he had 31 points in 53 games. That's Couture's lowest per-game scoring rate since his rookie season way back in 2009-2010. He's now 32 years old, has 6 more years left on a contract with an $8 million cap hit per season. And look, Couture is not the biggest issue on this team, probably not by a long shot, but at some point, that $8 million cap hit is probably going to be an issue because, you know, once you hit your 30s, there's a decent chance that decline is on its way. And if last season is the beginning of a decline for Logan Couture, it's going to get pretty tough over the next 6 years. So I think if you're San Jose, you can hope that the percentages bounce back a bit next season, and Couture is back to being a productive scorer. But for $8 million, he sure better be. I guess if we're going to round out that top line, let's look to Timo Meier on the right side, who's a 3-time 20-goal scorer. Might be a decent buy-low option coming into this season. Scored on just 7.7% of his shots last year. And Meier generally is pretty good at generating shots, but his play driving results have kind of slipped in the past couple of years as well. Look, if everything goes well, and you got a good season out of Evander Kane and Logan Couture and Timo Meier, well, things would look a whole lot different for the San Jose Sharks. And I think the challenge is you also run the possibility that you might get mediocre to poor seasons out of any number of those three. And if that's the case, it becomes a whole lot harder. So let's see what awaits on the second line. And we'll start on left side with Alexander Barabanov, who the Sharks picked up from Toronto. He had just one assist in 13 games with the Maple Leafs, where he was basically a spare part. And then he contributed 7 points in 9 games with San Jose. Before you get all carried away about the offensive potential of Alexander Barabanov, he also only had 12 shots on goal in those 9 games. So maybe don't expect that he's immediately going to be a big-time scorer just by switching teams. At the same time, there's a chance here for Barabanov to at least fit into a top nine role, contribute a little bit offensively, certainly more of an opportunity than what he was getting with the Maple Leafs. Now, second line center is Tomas Hertl. There's a really big decision, I guess, awaiting the Sharks when it comes to Hertl, because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent at season's end. He has the talent to be a difference maker, but he also probably needs more support than what's available to him right now in San Jose. And if you look at the San Jose roster and your Tomas Hertl, you might find it pretty easy to imagine you could do better by signing elsewhere on the open market. Signing with a team, that will give you the raise that you're expecting, but also that gives you a better chance to win. If that's going to be the case, then it's going to be up to the Sharks to deal Hertl and try and maximize the return they can get, because they have to make sure they get some kind of value. Like either they re-sign Hertl or they're prepared to move him and get picks and prospects and young players that they can move forward with. Because when you're in the position of the San Jose Sharks, you can't very well let a player just walk as a free agent. Not a player as valuable as Hertl who could bring you some significant assets in return. So on the right side, then on this line, how about Kevin LeBanc? His production has dropped off in the past couple of seasons, but LeBanc does push play in the right direction. Just unfortunately, the results have not been there in terms of like his own point production and the Sharks being outscored significantly with him on the ice. And so I think the hope has to be for San Jose is that you get some kind of bounce back season from Kevin LeBanc, because once the Sharks signed him to a long term deal, they kind of need some production to support that signing. And as I say, the past couple of years it really hasn't been there. Now move down to the third line on the left side. Let's try Rudolf Balcers. Now, I mean, it's entirely possible Balcers would be on the second line and Barabanov to the third, but that may be a coin flip to figure that out. And Balcers is at least a little bit interesting. He had a career high 17 points in 41 games last season. Now, that doesn't make a dramatic difference, but he could contribute secondary offense if you give him consistent playing time. And if it happens that he's playing, on the wing with Hertl or potentially even on the wing with Couture, well, then, the offensive expectations could go up for Rudolf Balcers. At center, we've got Nick Bonino, quality veteran third line center, who in the first half of last season for Minnesota did just about nothing. And then in the second half of the year became quite valuable. He was getting power play time and producing offensively. And so I think the Sharks are really hoping that Bonino will give them some stability on their third line. Now on the right side of that line, maybe it's John Leonard, who did not score as expected during his rookie season last year. I think he only scored 3 goals, but his defensive numbers were solid. And so if pucks start going into the net, Leonard could be a viable top nine forward. And like many of these San Jose forwards, is probably a buy low option when it comes to fantasy, because, as I said, he only scored 3 goals last year. If Leonard does earn a significant role in the top nine, where you can count on him getting ice time, and all of a sudden he puts up 15 goals, well, that's a pretty significant difference. Then to the fourth line, where we've got Andrew Cogliano, a veteran left winger, still very good defensively. He can play in a checking role, kill penalties. He's been doing it forever, and he still does it pretty well. At center, Dylan Gambrell, who is an offensive liability. Gambrell has 23 points in 110 career games, but still decent enough defensively that you know, you can have him as your fourth line center. I think the issue is you shouldn't be playing him 16 minutes per game as the Sharks did last season. That's too much ice time for somebody who can't produce offensively. Then on the right side, we've got Matt Nieto, who's a speedy veteran winger. His defensive play may have slipped a little bit last season, but usually he's a pretty solid player without the puck. Might be able to get you double digit goals depending on role and ice time and such. One of the things you can see the Sharks addressing in the offseason was trying to add some stability on their bottom six up front with the likes of Bonino and Cogliano and Nieto. You've got some guys who have experience in the league and are still playing at a decent enough level. Now, who else could be in the mix for forward spots in San Jose? You're probably looking at a forward like Nick Merkley, who was kind of on the fringe with the New Jersey Devils last year. He's been a productive AHLer and still kind of, I guess, trying to see whether or not he can do it in the National Hockey League. Lane Peterson, who was with Arizona and San Jose, made a bit of a commitment to Peterson, trading for him and signing him to a two-year deal. Maybe there's some indication there that San Jose is pretty high on Lane Peterson. And then there's Noah Gregor, who played 30 games for the Sharks last season. And so none of those guys are necessarily impact players, but they're probably young and hungry guys who would certainly like the opportunity that they might be able to get with a team like San Jose. So overall, you're looking at a forward group that not outstanding, and I guess the concern is that it would seem more likely that you could get the low end performance out of this group than more likely to get that than it is to get the high end performance. Now, as I said earlier, if you got the high end performance out of Evander Kane and Logan Couture and Timo Meier and Thomas Hertl and Kevin LeBanc, well, I mean the season would look a lot different than what we've seen the past couple of years. So I think there's still some hope based on the forwards in San Jose, but it's not the most likely scenario that these forwards lead them to success next season. So when we come back, we will look at defense and goaltending for the Sharks. It's that time of year again. All eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 100% welcome bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. That's from football, basketball, boxing, baseball, hockey, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available in the 2021 season. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. To the defense of the San Jose Sharks, and we'll start with Mario Ferraro, who looks like he should be top pair left defenseman. He's developing as a pretty sound defensive presence. He skates well, adds a physical dimension, and given the other personnel on the San Jose blue line, Ferraro should play a pretty big role. Not just because he can skate and adds a little bit of, I guess, youthful enthusiasm. But the physical presence and I guess the defensive reliability, that shouldn't be overlooked. On the right side of the top pair would be Brent Burns, who's still a freewheeling offensive defenseman. Trouble is, he's not the impact player that he was for, you know, a long time, but kind of in the past couple of years, he's fallen off a bit and is no longer the game breaker that he had been. And if Burns, I mean, he's, you know, into his late 30s, if this doesn't reverse, and why would it at this age, then, you know, you're left, you know, paying significant money to a guy who just isn't a big enough difference maker to make it work. And so this is an issue that is hanging over the Sharks quite a bit right now, is that they're paying a lot of money to defensemen who aren't making a real difference for the team. And Burns is one of them, but at the same time, Burns is also he can still contribute, and so I guess the hope for the Sharks has to be that he can maybe, if he doesn't get back to where he was, say, 3 years ago, that he could even get a portion of the way back and be better than he has been in the past couple of years. To the second pair, we've got Nikolai Nizov, 23-year-old defenseman, been steady enough defensively in his first couple of years, but his offensive results have been, you know, maybe a little uneven. And really, I guess if you're the Sharks, if Nizov would provide steady defensive play, you'd probably take it. Because it works as a complement on the right side of that second pair, Erik Karlsson, who in the past couple of years is pretty far off his Norris Trophy level of play. Injuries have certainly contributed to Carlson's decline, but he's also just 31 years old. While I mentioned, you know, the Sharks could hope that Brent Burns can bounce back a little bit, I think the expectation has to be that Karlsson can perform better than he has in the past couple of seasons. And maybe he can't. Maybe injuries have just, made it much too difficult. He has the straightaway speed still. The problem is his kind of side-to-side mobility. He's not as shifty as he used to be. And you know, that alone may be why the version you get of Erik Karlsson now is not the same as the Erik Karlsson that San Jose traded for, even when he was kind of finishing up in Ottawa. But really, Burns and Karlsson are eating up such a massive part of the Sharks' salary cap and ice time from the blue line that they just need better results with those guys on the ice. To the third pair, we've got Marc-Edward Vlasic, who's still effective enough defensively, but at the same time, his ice time dropped to a career low last season, 17:31 per game. It's the first time in his career he's played less than 20 minutes per game. And you know, if you're the Sharks and you need steady defensive play, you might need to give Vlasic a bit more of a role. And because he's also another guy who's making big money, and you know, paying a guy $7 million to play on your third pair isn't going to give you a positive return. So, we've run into a few problem areas here on the San Jose blue line. Then there's Radim Šímek, who's been an adequate defensive defenseman and as a part-time-ish player over the past 3 years. He's 28 years old, played 14 minutes per game last year. Not really a big impact player. And really, when you look at kind of who are other options for that San Jose blue line, it's not great. Brinson Pasichnuk played a little bit for the Sharks last season. Nick Melosh, another guy who's been playing in the AHL, but played a little bit for the Sharks. I think the natural expectation here should be that San Jose will go seek out a veteran defenseman who might be able to fill, say, the seventh spot on their blue line. Because I think Pasichnuk and Melosh could very easily just play in the American Hockey League and be ready to get called up when the time comes. But I think when you look at San Jose's blue line, they could probably use a veteran, and even if it's an inexpensive veteran, just somebody who can fill in from time to time. Now to the goaltending, and this is, you know, pretty important because goaltending has been a huge problem for San Jose in recent seasons. Martin Jones really kind of fell off dramatically from his best years. And so change was needed, and change was what happened. So Aiden Hill is a 25-year-old who has a shot to win the starting role. He has a .915 save percentage in 32 NHL games over the past couple of seasons, better than his kind of first couple of seasons with Arizona. But that's obviously a pretty small sample size. But you know, if Hill could even be a league average goaltender, that would be a massive upgrade for San Jose. And if he has a .915 save percentage, what he's done over the past couple of seasons, if he provided that for San Jose, that could make a real difference for this team. And so I don't know that you can count on it, given that Hill's got a relatively small sample of NHL games to his credit. But I think that's obviously the hope here for San Jose, is that if you give Aiden Hill a chance and he performs well, well, then you you end up making a pretty dramatic difference over what, you know, may have been kind of the worst goaltending in the league over the past few years. Then sharing the net with Aiden Hill is James Reimer. And Reimer, a veteran goaltender who should at the very least add some stability. He's not a star, but he's also decent enough that if he had to start either, you know, over a short period of time, or if he just ends up being better than Aiden Hill and you need him to start, he's probably still an upgrade on the goaltending that they had been receiving previously. So the tandem of Hill and Reimer should be an upgrade for San Jose, and an upgraded goaltending does give them a chance to have better results. But it's, you kind of have to keep your fingers crossed, right? Aiden Hill has such a limited track record that if you're kind of hitching your goaltending wagon to him, you know, you really have to hope. And yes, maybe he will step in and thrive in the role, and that will really, you know, make things look different for the San Jose Sharks. But what if he can't handle the starting role, and you end up with James Reimer starting, and you know, maybe the improvement from Martin Jones to James Reimer just isn't big enough to make a real difference for this team. I think, you know, given the question marks on the blue line, this is going to be a major concern for San Jose, is that you need the goaltending to come through, you need the defensive play to get better, and on top of all that, you still have kind of hopes and question marks about what's going on up front. So it's not an easy looking season coming up for the San Jose Sharks. But when we come back, we will look into special teams and prospects, and kind of pass a verdict on this roster. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store. At Rock Auto, it's $216. That is more money in your pocket. And Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How'd You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have so many delicious flavors. That includes coconut and cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. That is a great variety. My favorite is the salted caramel, but if you haven't tried those flavors, you can get a mixed box from Built Bar. They give you two of each, sample them, decide which ones you like. But really, such a great variety there. There should be something for everyone. And with that great mix of flavors, they're all covered in 100% chocolate, so they taste like a great snack, but they're healthy too. Built Bars are loaded with protein. They're low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. So you have amazing flavors, taste great, all healthy, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Okay, so let's take a look at the power play for the San Jose Sharks. Over the past 3 years, during 5-on-4 play, the Sharks are fourth in shots per 60 minutes, 55.7. They are fifth in expected goals per 60 during 5-on-4 play with 6.99. At the same time, they are 20th in goals per 60, 6.49. My concern, I guess, would be that too many of those shots are coming from the blue line, letting Brent Burns wail away. And maybe those shots just aren't the highest danger in reality, never mind what they are in terms of expected goals in models. So the fact that they are generating a bunch of shots and a reasonably high level of expected goals is encouraging. The fact that over the past three seasons, their 5-on-4 rate of scoring goals per 60 is 20th, that's a little bit less encouraging. So I guess still some work to be done on the San Jose power play. Now, on penalty kill, over the past three seasons during 4-on-5 play, they're eighth in shot attempts against per 60 at 88.5, 13th in shots against per 60 at 50.2, 18th in expected goals against per 60 at 6.42, and 6th in goals against per 60 at 6.05. Now, I think part of the issue there is that Martin Jones, who, as I've noted, has been a problem area for the Sharks, actually tends to be pretty good during shorthanded situations. And, well, that hardly makes up for the suspect goaltending in all the other situations. That does kind of contribute to why the Sharks' goals against per 60 has been so strong during 4-on-5 play. So overall, I mean, they're probably better than average in terms of special teams, but certainly there's room to improve the power play in getting the actual results as opposed to just generating a high volume of shots. So what remaining needs do we have for the San Jose Sharks? And I think the issue is that they may not have enough high-end talent because the money they've spent on players that they expect to be high-end talent are not performing at that level. And this goes to defense in particular, where you have Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson and Marc-Edouard Vlasic eating up a massive amount under the salary cap and not performing in a way that kind of justifies that expense. And then given the kind of question marks hanging over Evander Kane, Logan Couture, Timo Meier, Thomas Hertl, all these guys, Kevin LeBanc even. I mean, you've got almost everybody on the Sharks that they've invested money in comes with question marks right now. And so they're going to need some answers. And I guess, if you're looking at the Sharks and what do they need, they basically need the guys they have to perform like they have earlier in their careers, or they need to be able to make some trades to turn around and make this roster younger and build towards the future. And that's not going to be easy, but that's sort of the challenge that is facing them right now. When we look to the prospects for the Sharks, guys who might have a shot to contribute this year, well, defenseman Ryan Merkley is the top prospect who has a chance to contribute this year. I mean, their first rounder, William Eklund, is a top-notch long-term prospect, but he's still in Sweden. And then there's Thomas Bortolo, who's another quality prospect, but he's at the University of Michigan. So of the players who have a shot at playing this year, Ryan Merkley is the guy. And he had 11 points in 31 games for the Barracuda in the American Hockey League last year. I think he probably starts this season in the American Hockey League to, refine his game and hopefully he can develop into a legit NHL defenseman. But I don't think you could look at him and say, well, he's going to be the one who steps in and, turns this whole thing around. He doesn't look like that he's that kind of prospect. Then there's a winger like John Leonard. Now, he played 44 games last year for the Sharks, so he's kind of barely a prospect. He's much closer to an NHL player. But As I mentioned before, if Leonard's defensive play was pretty solid as a rookie, and if he could put a few more pucks in the net, and given his last season in college, he scored quite a bit. So there's some reason to expect that he can do better than 3 goals in 44 games. And so there should be some hope that John Leonard can contribute this year. Then there's defenseman Brinson Pasichnuk, who had been the captain at Arizona State, played mostly in the American Hockey League last year, had 8 points in 32 games, but did get into 4 games with the Sharks. And, would it make more sense to keep him in the American Hockey League next season, at least to start, rather than have him kind of sitting as an extra in the NHL? I think that's probably up for some discussion, but it wouldn't surprise me if Pasichnuk plays in the American Hockey League to start, and then you see about calling him up after some time in the AHL. Right winger Joachim Blichfeld, who had 22 points in 25 games in the American Hockey League last year, and so that's encouraging. You know, he had 1 goal in 5 NHL games, and he's another player who could very well get called up and find a role in the National Hockey League. I mean, if the forwards who I mentioned as possible extras like Nick Merkley and Lane Peterson and Noah Gregor, well, Joachim Blichfeld could very easily be in that mix too, of guys who might be able to kind of contribute at some point during the season. And then we've got Sasha Chmelevsky, who had 20 points in 27 games in the American Hockey League last year, a couple assists in 5 games for the Sharks. But really none of these prospects for the Sharks are guys who look like really high-end impact players. I mean, the impact player is Eklund, who is playing for Djurgården in Sweden and could be a real game changer for San Jose in the future, but that doesn't look like it's happening this season. So, what does this mean for the San Jose Sharks? What is the likely outcome for this team? Well, are they a playoff team, a championship contender? Oh, probably not. They are probably not a playoff team. It would require a pretty dramatic turnaround from their past couple of seasons. And now look, getting adequate goaltending could make a pretty big difference for them. And they're playing in the Pacific Division, so there's a chance. But it's still probably a long shot. And, given the question marks kind of still hanging over the Evander Kane situation, it's pretty tough to be optimistic about the San Jose Sharks going into the 2021-2022 season. So that's where we stand on the Sharks. Check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast as we head down the stretch run there. And check out both these podcasts on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Betting on the National Hockey League doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.